Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional piss.
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we've got a full show for you today. Jason Benetti, who's actually going to begin broadcasting today. He and Chuck Garfine are going to be live streaming via NBC Sports Chicago, the intra-squad games. So he's got a little bit of his own spring training as the White Sox are back in action. He'll join us at 9:40. Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune on both college football and the PGA. Holy crap, was that bananas yesterday or what? Did you see those guys on 18, a 50-footer and then a 25-footer to force a playoff? Woo! I was jumping up and down watching that yesterday. So Teddy Greenstein is going to talk about all of that at 10, midday, midway at 10:40. Brian Geltzeiler of SiriusXM NBA, HoopsCritic.com, he's going to join us to talk about what is happening in the NBA bubble. All I know is it's a lot of fishing. I am kind of envious because people don't get to fish that lake. That's a private lake filled with giant largemouth bass, like big southern largemouth, and they have the free run of it to just fish to their heart's content. And I know they're still trapped in a bubble in Orlando with the viral pandemic raging all around them, but, you know, fishing. So, you know, that's cool as well. All kinds of surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR, The Score. You email us at Bernstein@670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live. We are streaming at 670thescore.com. You can text us to the always colorful text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You text the same number you call, 312-644-6767, and when you do text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein670. You can follow my personal account as well. That will veer all over the place. It's not just sports there.
Stick to sports, Bernstein.
That's at Dan_Bernstein. Also, download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. Ray Diaz is the man in the building, on the board, the executioner doing the things that he does. Well, I guess we've lived long enough to see something a lot of us never thought we would see, because the press release was issued just this morning on official Washington NFL football team letterhead. And what's amazing is the difference between the appearance of this statement, the words that are actually contained in it and how it looks, because it comes off as sort of this whole end of the name is going to be Dan Snyder's last FU in how this is all done, because they're doing it so proud of the name. There is the logo. There is the racist logo. And by my count, the number of times they actually say the dictionary defined slur, let's see, one, and then there's a two, because it's the Washington at that name park, and then it's in their web address, which they should, well, they have twice. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, statement from 5, and then announcing we'll be retiring the 6. So six times they say it, but they are going to be renaming that football team. It is true. It is fact. But it's some of the details in this press release I find absolutely fascinating. It just says statement from the Washington football team. It says, on July 3rd, we announced the commencement of a thorough review of the team's name. That review has begun in earnest. As part of this process, we want to keep our sponsors, fans, and community apprised of our thinking as we go forward. Today, we are announcing that we will be retiring the name and logo upon completion of this review. So they don't put a time on it. They don't tell us exactly when the review is going to be completed. It could be an ongoing, endless review. We don't know that. It says Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud, tradition-rich franchise and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. And that is the sum total of the statement from Dan Snyder and his Washington football team to be named later. Here's what jumps out. First of all, the refreshing honesty in how they prioritize sponsors, fans, and community. They want to inspire sponsors, fans, and community. Whether they meant to do it or not, they did that very honestly to show exactly what's driving this whole thing, how this all happened, that it's not about really the community or the fans as much as it is about the sponsors. So it's very clear that message is sent. By the way, I know who's writing the checks. I know how this is done, whether it's Federal Express, whether it's Nike, whether it's his other partners, that he put it out there first and foremost that he knows that it's sponsors. Second of all, I love Ron Rivera. I've known Ron ever since I first started covering the Bears. He's a straight shooter and a nice guy. But he's being used here. He's being used as a shield because I don't need the coach of the team working on the name of the team, first of all. I don't think he's actually, you know, sitting there in the meetings with the marketing people. There are people who go to school for such things, whose job it is to do that. The reason why they invoke his name is because as a person of color, Latinx or however you want to phrase it, it gives them some sort of way to say, yeah, we've got an awareness of this, when you know exactly what Dan Snyder's thinking. And you know when you're renaming an NFL team, how careful you have to be and how you need people whose job it is to do such things. Sports marketing experts, the people who do all of the, and especially, and lawyers too, because if you actually look at some of the reporting here, they're going to have a very difficult time getting a name that somebody hasn't already trademark squatted. Because there have been people who have, when they started rolling out this possibility, that you get the usual list of people who are filing trademarks for a lot of these names that we've been hearing, whether it's Red Tails, Red Wolves, the Red Warriors, or all, everything that's out there, they don't have any of these. They don't have any of these. They don't own these things yet. And they're going to have to buy off some squatters who've been doing this. And there are some creative squatters. I know in the early days of the Wild West of the internet, there are some unbelievable stories. I mean, incredible stories of how far people will go to try to prove that what they're doing isn't frivolous. This is a true story, and this team, Dan Snyder's going to have to deal with this. But true story, there was a cyber squatter who went and registered websites for every company he could find, including large international law firms. And there was one firm, and I'm not going to use the actual name of it, but let's say it's Smith & Jones. And it was Smith & Jones and Partners. And he trademarked the name, copyrighted the name, and they couldn't use their actual name and their website unless they bought it off of this guy. So it got litigated, and it actually, I think, to appellate court level, where this guy actually argued that he was considering doing a puppet show where the characters were Smith and Jones, and he had to have it because he had this concept of this puppet show that he may or may not get to at some point to have, and he was using the names of the law firm. Absolutely true. That the Washington football team is going to have to deal with this one way or another. Meanwhile, as this is going on, I don't know if you saw what happened yesterday, that the Atlanta Braves have sort of pulled a Blackhawks here, where they have said they're not changing their nickname, but they will take a further look at the future of the Tomahawk Chop. So this was a Braves season ticket holder received this letter, and then it was shared on Twitter. And the Braves confirmed the contents, and then ESPN ran the story. And it says, the Atlanta Braves honors, respects, and values the Native American community. Kind of. As an organization, we've always drawn strength from our diversity and respect for everyone. That will never change. And it goes on with all the gobbledygook. And they say, through our conversations, changing the name of the Braves is not under consideration or deemed necessary. As it relates to the fan experience, including the Chop, is one of the many issues that we're working through with our advisory group. And just so much of the Chop was popularized by our fans when Deion Sanders joined our team, and it continues to inspire our players on the field. Sure. With that in mind, we're continuing to listen to the Native American community as well as our fans, etc. So they're undergoing a review, taking a further look. Okay, ready? Let's go. Let's do the review and racist. End of review. Okay, that was fun. Okay, glad we had this meeting. Good talk. See you out there. I mean, that would just be, you really got to do that. You really have to review. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, review ended. Racist, get rid of it. But this is, I didn't think we'd get here. I really didn't. I didn't think we would see this day. I didn't think that at some point that quickly. You know, and we should probably give this a listen too, because Ron Rivera was on the station with McNeil and Parkins, and I'll get the exact date, because here's the thing with the timeline. He mentioned that Danny asked him about the name, and he said that it was probably too early, and then it was a big story, and there was a backlash to that was national. However, I'm not sure. It's sort of post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy. I'm not sure that this actually got the ball rolling, because anytime you see these, what major corporations do, when Nike pulls merchandise, when FedEx says what they say, you're talking about not just publicly traded corporations, massive, big cap, international publicly traded corporations. They don't say, hey, here Ron said on The Score in Chicago, yeah, let's do this, because of what they have to do to make all these decisions. I do think it timed up in an interesting fashion. I don't know that I'd go so far as to give it credit for it, but let's just give this a listen. This was June 29th, Ron Rivera on The Score.
Ron, given all of these conversations that you're having with your football team, do you think your football team's name should change?
I think that's a discussion for another time. And again, I feel that a guy that's, you know, my age, my era, you know, that was always part of football, the name of the Washington Redskins.
Do you mean another time from this radio show, because, or another time with the moment, because like a lot of monuments are changing, people are changing.
I think it's all about the moment and the timing, but you know, I'm just somebody that's from a different era that when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene. You know, that's one of the tough things for me too, is I've always wanted to try to keep that separate. you know, people have wanted me to get involved in politics, you know, while I was coaching. And I kept telling, you know, it's not for me to get up here and influence people. You know, I have my beliefs. I know what I think. You know, I support the movements. You know, I support the players. I believe in what they're doing. And again, you know, I think that there are certain elements and certain things that's all about the timing and the best time to discuss those things.
Well, all of a sudden, we got to the right timing. That was June 29th. And what's today? The 13th of July. And the announcement has come that the Washington football team is going to be renamed. So did it have something to do with it? Did it accelerate something? Possibly. The response and how widely his comments were received. But ultimately, when you have the money players telling Dan Snyder, yeah, we're going to take the name off the building, you're going to lose that revenue, and we're not going to be selling anything. Because here's, you know what really is going to happen? Snyder's going to end up making millions off of this. And I think he knows that too. I think somebody sat down with him and said, get over it. Whatever your daddy issues are, and whatever this thing has meant to you, figure out your psychology here, because here are some zeros that are going to be after some commas, because once we do this, you're going to open up an entirely new market for your goods and for your new logo and for whatever you are, and the number of players that are expressing excitement for, yeah, I'd wear that, I'd market that, I'd play for that, I don't have to feel any cognitive dissonance playing for that team anymore. That I think that somebody said to him, not only are we going to have our stuff back up on the Nike store, but it's going to be flying off the shelves now because you've removed the stigma from it, and people will celebrate it. The people who all these people that have been banging down your door, all these people you've been dismissing, may actually celebrate it, even though you're the one cashing in. And after a few days and after a season, everybody's completely over it because we know it. And the Cleveland baseball team is going to change their name eventually, too. And there will be a little kerfuffle for a while, and the atavists will scream and shout, and Clay Travis will write a column based on, you know, false equivalencies and illogic. And then it'll land with a thud, and everybody will get over it, and then you move on with your lives. Nobody cares that Stanford used to have a different name. Nobody cares that Miami of Ohio and Marquette and St. John's. It doesn't matter. So this also, you know what? It won't matter. But doesn't mean I can't celebrate. Although I have a difficult time dealing with news stories that don't make me feel horrible, because I'm now so attuned to just the existential dread of looking at my phone every morning when I wake up and rolling over and putting on my reading glasses, and I stare at my phone. And this, and it looks like the monolith from 2001, and I hear the same music as "Thus Sprach Zarathustra," and I hear that rising, and I stare at the black monolith, and I think, do I want to turn this thing on? Because everything that arrives is horrible. It's like the mail. You go get the mail, and you don't want to look at it because it's going to be horror and misery, because it's all it is. It's never good. So when I saw something like this, I'm like, wow, I'm kind of losing the ability to process some of these things that aren't completely horrible and miserable. So I'm trying to figure that out. So let's get an opinion from someone actually in Washington. Cindy Boren of the Washington Post is going to join us next to give us her perspective on a major sports story. Daniel Snyder is going to change the name of his football team after all. She's coming up next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Ron, given all of these conversations that you're having with your football team, do you think your football team's name should change?
I think that's a discussion for another time. And again, I feel that a guy that's, you know, my age, my era, you know, that was always part of football, the name of the Washington Redskins.
Well, now it's not. And it's weird looking at a news headline that doesn't make me want to throw up, because I don't really know how to do that anymore. I haven't figured out a way to look at a news headline that is something other than completely awful. But this was definitely that, and that it may be damning with faint praise and holding it to a low standard. But hey, so be it. That's where we are. And there's going to be a new name once they can figure out what the rights hold it, what the squatters with the copyright ownerships have already reserved and what that ransom fee is going to be. And soon we'll know at the completion of this review what the new name is going to be and how they decided. Here to talk about, frankly, a pretty momentous day in sports history after 90 years of a dictionary-defined racial slur that is now no more. Cindy Boren, the veteran sports columnist for The Washington Post, joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Cindy, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, actually, and I'm a little surprised that this happened. I mean, I still thought that even after announcing the review, after everything else, that Daniel Snyder we'd have to pry this from his cold dead fingers, from everything that he's said. how did this happen so rapidly?
Well, you know, they hit him in his wallet, for one thing. You know, the sponsors were pulling out. FedEx no longer wanted to be associated with the team. The FedEx chairman, Fred Smith, who's a minority owner, wanted to sell. So did another two, I think, minority owners who accounted for 40% of the team. Nike refused to sell their jerseys and paraphernalia anymore on the website. And, you know, the other key factor is Washington is in desperate need of a new stadium. I mean, that is just one of the most awful experiences in the NFL is going to FedEx Field. And the logical thing is to have a nice glittering stadium in the nation's capital, right? But D.C. politicians say, you've got to change that name if we're going to give you any cooperation or any money. And, you know, his hand was forced. He desperately wants that.
For years, he has mentioned how many Washingtonians and how many fans love the name and how important the mm-hmm. legacy of the name is to them. I've always, from the outside, gotten a very clear sense that he's projecting, that I've never seen data back that up. I've never seen him say, look, here is absolute, it's just like sort of the surveys that he waves around, say that there are Native Americans who aren't bothered by it, and this the percentage of Native Americans say it's okay. But to me, it always seems like he's overrepresented the strong feelings that football fans have, where I know longtime fans of the team who have said, I don't care, just win. So I don't care yeah. what you call them, as long as you win games. Has that been in large part him projecting that connection to the name?
Well, I have to tell you, about 4 or 5 years ago, the Washington Post polling group surveyed Native Americans on that very topic. And I think we were all surprised that, I don't think I'm giving away any secrets here, we were all surprised in the building when Native Americans pretty overwhelmingly were like, we don't care, it doesn't matter to us. That was a surprise. That was a real surprise. Now, has that changed in the last 5 years? I don't know. An awful lot's changed in the last 8 weeks, you know? So my guess is it probably has changed, although we haven't done any polling on that lately. So, you know, that was something that he could conveniently, you know, point to to back up his decision not to change the nickname. But, you know, the people I know an awful lot of Redskins fans, and I'd say it's probably 70-30 in favor of changing the name. I think, you know, and of the 70% who favor changing it, you know, probably 40% think it's racist, and the other 30% are just like, oh, you know, change it and move on. You know, I mean, the problem the team has here in Washington is it hasn't been any good,
right?
Really, in the time that Snyder has owned it. And, you know, that's really done more damage to his brand than anything else, that in the stadium, really. And, you know, I just think that there are so many people, you know, so many youngsters have no clue that this team was actually a Super Bowl winning team. You know, for 20 years, everybody under the age of 20 20 thinks they stink, because they have. You know, they've been poor. Poor is a better word than stink, isn't it? They've been poor for 20 years. You know, they get a reboot. They get a perhaps a cool new logo. They get a, hopefully a cool new nickname, not something lame. And, you know, maybe they can move into a, you know, a new century here and move on while still, you know, acknowledging that they've won Super Bowls in the past and have had some success.
I actually laughed when I saw the press release itself, and there it's yeah. on their letterhead with the logo right in your face. And I counted on that one pager, six times the current name of the team is mentioned, as yeah. if Snyder is saying, I may be going out, but I'm going to rub it in your face before I go out. I'm going to say it as many times as I possibly can before this thing disappears. And the other thing of note is, it seems to me, I mean, Ron Rivera is a longtime Chicago Bear, a friend of this radio station, right. and I've known Ron for many, many years, and he was first starting out in coaching. And I get a little bothered by the fact that I think, whether it's kind of okay with him or not, that Snyder is using him as a shield, that he invokes his name because he has a person of color who is out front in this. When he says that Snyder and Rivera will be working on finding a new name, I want marketing professionals in charge of that. I want my coach figuring out who's supposed to stand where and hit whom and where the ball is supposed to go. I think that there are people better equipped to come up with a new name than the coach, and it just tells me that there's a PR reason for invoking him. Is that what's going on here?
Well, yes. How's that for a short answer? You know, he brought in Ron Rivera, and he got rid of Bruce Allen. He's gotten rid of some scouts. Rivera's kind of taking over, you know, the scouting department. I mean, it's Ron Rivera's team. And, you know, there really isn't anyone in the front office who could step up and speak, because the owner never talks to the media. He never holds a press conference. You know, he's the man in the empty suit in many ways. You know, most other owners would at least come out on a significant moment like this, you know, would come out and talk about it and answer questions and, you know, explain his thinking and what led him to this. But, you know, not yet. We haven't seen that yet from Dan Snyder. And you also notice in that press release, he mentions sponsors, I think, ahead of fans and
yes,
community.
Yes.
And, you know, I think the reasoning on using the logo, you know, wringing the last few weeks of use out of the name and the logo is, you know, they plan to continue to use it until they have the new name in place, which presumably will be fairly quickly, because some local people managed to tie up all the trademark applications for possible nicknames. And, you know, they need to work that out. You would have thought they would have worked that out ahead of time, but mm-hmm. that's also the Redskins' way of doing things.
We're talking with Cindy Boren, the veteran Washington Post sports columnist on Sports Radio 670 The Score. If you want to follow her on Twitter, you can. She is at Cindy Boren. And I saw that. And how could they not have gotten out ahead of this? Like, even when this was first stirring, even like a decade ago, like the first thing you do, it cost you $25 or whatever it is to just go register some of these possibilities and at least have them. And now are they going to end up paying a ransom fee?
A ransom fee? I don't know, but you know, clearly they're going to be behind the eight ball on this one. You know, to answer your question, this is how they do business. I mean, they don't think things through. You know, this is how Dan Snyder has had. I don't even know how many. I've lost count of how many head coaches he's had in 20 years. You know, I mean, this is how they work. And, you know, anyone would have said back, what, in, I think the reports were that they had been talking to Goodell and other NFL owners about changing the nickname, you know, 8 weeks ago, you know, after George Floyd died at the end of May. So, you know, however long ago that was, six weeks ago, they'd been talking about it. Why didn't you make moves then? You could have gone out and trademarked every possible iteration of a nickname, and you didn't. So, you know, the good news is the NFL makes money, so I think they can afford whatever they need to do.
I wonder, too, about the effect overall on players. And obviously, the quality of the team is going to matter more than anything else. But we're in a different place in general. And we understand that in a league that is 60% people of color who actually play the game, who are the actual assets, that if somebody could make a case to Dan Snyder, and it does seem that someone said, hey, you're going to end up making more money off of this than you lose. You might get your stadium, and you might be a more attractive place to some players. And maybe you don't have to pay that little extra bit that gets somebody over the hump and say, yeah, I guess I'll wear that logo on the side of my head. That sort of vaporizes any negativity in that regard internally in the league.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the tweet this morning from Dwayne Haskins. You know, he grew up in the Washington area, and he tweeted, you know, HTTR, you know, hail to the Redskins, would always have special meaning to him. And yet, time to move on into the future. And I think that's probably a good way of looking at it. And I think that's the way most of the players will look at it. You know, it's nobody's taking away their Super Bowl trophies. No one's taking away their, you know, their history. And, you know, onward, it's a reboot. You know, for them, it should be a good day for them today.
I think it is, and I do think that ultimately, how long do you think it'll take to blow over? Because I know that after all of this, after everything Snyder did, and his famous quote, it'll never change, and you can write that in all caps, and everybody will throw that back at him, and everybody will be dunking on him. But my belief is, it's a story for a couple days. It'll be a story when the new name is announced. They'll get some logos out of it. And ultimately, a year from now, maybe even less than that, we're just going to look back and be like, what were we bothering with all this?
Well, you know, the big thing, and the thing that matters more than anything else, and that will fix everything, is winning. And if, yep, you know, if Ron Rivera can put together a team, you know, they have had a decent draft with Chase Young. You know, if Ron Rivera can be Ron Rivera again, nobody will care. You know, it'll be a great moment. It will have been the right thing to do. Everything will be terrific and hunky dory. You know, the problem has been in the past that coaches, you know, the owner always hires a coach and puts him in charge of everything, and then it turns out that, you know, he meddles, and coaches and general managers come in and think, oh, it'll be different this time with me, and it hasn't been. So, you know, for Ron Rivera's sake, I hope it is this time. I hope it really is different. I hope, you know, I hope this isn't a mistake. But, you know, I mean, Mike Shanahan could tell you stories about that, you know. So we'll see. You know, winning is the key. If they can win, then, you know, you'll see people taking off their Washington Nationals jerseys and their Washington Capitals jerseys, and they'll be putting on football stuff again. Because right now, they're not wearing the Redskins stuff.
No Wizards? No love for the Wizards?
Oh, there's some. Yeah, there is. You know, certainly there was when they drafted John Wall. And, you know, you'll see some Mystics. You know, they won the championship. You'll see Mystics gear. But, you know, nothing like the Nationals and the Capitals. And, you know, the people that you see in Redskins gear, frankly, are not young. How's that for a kind way of saying it? You know, they're older people.
Cindy, thank you very much for being generous with your time. Really appreciate it.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
It's Cindy Boren, columnist from the Washington Post, who has covered all of this ridiculousness for a long time. Coming up next, Jason Benetti. He's getting back to broadcasting. They're starting to webcast intra-squad games, so he's going to knock off some of the broadcasting cobwebs starting today. I believe he and Chuck Garfine are going to be on the call for White Sox intra-squad baseball. So he's going to join us to talk about that and more next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
That's his choice, and you got to respect his choice. Other than that, I haven't really talked to him much at all, just from, like, we're kind of doing our own schedules here and everything, and I mean, that's about all I can say.
White Sox pitcher Dane Dunning, himself coming back from Tommy John surgery, and maybe he will be one of those arms that helps replace that of Michael Kopech, who has opted out for this season as the White Sox get ready to return. And speaking of returning, he's about to be back in the broadcast booth, webcasting intra-squad games. Jason Benetti is on Twitter at Jason Benetti. He is the television voice of the Chicago White Sox, and he is with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What's up, man?
I'm just excited to be useful today, Dan. Thank you.
Well, it's about damn time, right?
I mean,
are you preparing? Are you in your regular routine for these games? Just trying to treat this like your own spring training?
Sort of. But it's also like it feels like the first day of school to me, because we're going to show up and I've been told that we just go directly to the broadcast booth. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Part of my regular routine has been go to the park, fill out my lineup card, go down to the clubhouse, mingle in the clubhouse, ask a couple questions, go back upstairs after having read the stories from the night before, as you taught me when I was an intern for you. Then I, you know, go do the game. And part of the deal is we're working on ways for me to talk to play. You know, they have media sessions and things like that. But the part that I'll miss the most is going into the clubhouse, and we're just going to have to find ways around that this year. So it's a regular routine of how to do these games, but there's something missing that needs to work around.
What have you been seeing at the park? Because I've been watching the highlights, and it looks like there's some high-energy stuff going on out there.
Yeah. So I've been watching the highlights as you have. I've not been at the park yet. So this is literally the first day I've been there, which, you know, again, like people can say, why didn't you do the eyewash of posting a picture because you were at the ballpark? And I just didn't. So I've been watching the highlights too. And Luis Robert with the falling down, and Encarnacion with the parrot trot and all of that. I'm excited to see it in person because I think we'll feel the energy as it emanates from the field into the booth. But I'm getting the same vibe. I mean, I didn't know how it would translate from the energy that was in there in spring training and sort of the youthful bounce that came in that clubhouse. But it seems like it's still there, even 4 months away from each other.
I'm also looking at some of these intra-squad games to get an idea of actual roster depth, because if the Sox are undone by something, it's going to be attrition and or injury, however they may lose a guy, because, you know, say Tim Anderson goes down, or you start looking at who is going to end up going where and where some of that flexibility is going to come from. When they start saying maybe Andrew Vaughn can play third base, I'm like, yeah, I don't know, that was like what we heard about maybe Paul Konerko can play third base, that I think watching some of the other names, watching the bottom third of the roster in these games is going to be important.
Very important, and not just for this year. If we are to assume that things will be back to some level of regular/normalcy with a vaccine end of this year, beginning of next year, as the news reports seem to indicate, I would say that experimentation in a short season like this, yes, you want to win the World Series. Yes, some people have talked about it being more important because of the challenges that everybody's viscerally facing. And everybody can make the decision on how important this season is to them as a fan and how they'll treat it. But if you are going to have the possibility of losing players for an undetermined amount of time, then the ability for you to plug in and say, hey, can Andrew Vaughn play third base, I think is actually where a lot of clever things teams will learn about their players for 2021 and beyond might originate from. So I'm not saying go do it because, well, let's just throw caution to the wind, but the team that has the most players opt out, have beyond the list, whether it's for having it or being around somebody who's had it, that team may find more ingenuity in the future. I'm interested to watch that develop.
Ooh, interesting. Now, I've been thinking a lot, and I pressed Jed Hoyer on this, and he kept parrying all of my attempts here to say, what's the hack? What are the smart guys? What have they figured out in these 60 games? And whether it's in the arcane and in redone roster rules, like where is it? And maybe it's in what you're saying, that it's not for this year, but maybe 2 years from now,
you say, you know what? Well, we used those 60 games because it's all variance anyway. And we used those 60 games to get ourselves in a better position to win the 2022 World Series. So that you're the first person who's brought that up and say, not necessarily don't take it seriously, but maybe just look at, if you're going to have all the variance anyway, why not take a little bit of risk that might pay off?
And it hadn't really come to me until a couple discussions I've been having with people recently, but it's right there in front of us, right? When your star player gets injured and you look and you stay afloat for long enough, or maybe you're 3-over in basketball, or you win a couple games in football with your backup quarterback, and then you're like, wow, like the Jaguars made a quarterback decision for that very reason. You know what I mean? Like that, there's a lot that can come from losing somebody, and you don't do it intentionally. But I also think in terms of team building, like you have to understand all the teams, I think, that do psychology well are going to be the teams that have success this season. Like I think psychology and team understanding, but also like, valuing team over self, however you indicate that, however you make that happen. That's part of the reason that I know Minnesota, everybody thinks, is going to be the biggest challenger to the Sox winning the AL Central. I would not, and that's why the Franmil Reyes thing is odd for me, but Terry Francona, it seems like, is one of those people who's really, really good at that over the course of history. And so I just think the psychology of this is going to be so terribly important.
Talking with Jason Benetti on Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. Dan Bernstein on with you 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, still live and local. And I'm thinking, too, of the things that happen that end up being important that you don't realize until you find out after the fact. And with so much randomness this year, what top of mind for me, Jason, was the game that Lucas Giolito pitched against Toronto in the rain, where he and James McCann decided that they needed to speed up his approach, take less time between pitches, streamline what they were doing, and rock and fire. And he realized he liked it and felt really comfortable with that. And it was completely because of the circumstances that they decided to do it, and they were pleasantly surprised. And I'm just wondering how many of those things can occur this year. And it's the way you discover them, manage them, and make them meaningful that's going to separate some of the randomness from the moments of value.
And I'll push that to the fan as almost an Easter egg hunt for this year. In 60 games, the wins and losses, like, we're going to be documenting central scoreboards much more this year, I believe, because the sprint feel of this, obviously. But I think as a fan, as you sit and watch and you say, that looks a little bit different, or I wonder why he did that, or that sort of thing. We do that in baseball anyway, but I think for a generation of fans who didn't necessarily grow up with the game with that same understanding always in terms of the chess match, you can obviously watch batter and pitcher, but I do think those moments when you say, oh, he's doing this differently because of X, I think there are going to be more of them. I agree with you. And I believe that you can maybe more overtly see them in games simply because there's nothing going on in the crowd. There's no atmosphere in that way. We're just going to be watching physical movements of players so much more specifically, just because of how we're consuming the games this year, that I think we're going to, I really do posit that we're going to see more in game.
And it becomes your job to notice that on our behalf.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to do some of that, but that's going to be you and the truck saying it during an innings break. You're going to say, hey, go back and look at that. I want to know if I saw what I thought I saw. Can we contrast that with how it looked last year? Maybe it's pitch sequencing, or maybe it's a batting approach. You know, I don't even know what I don't know in that regard.
Yeah, and maybe it's simply the way somebody runs the bases, the way the team approaches certain situations. Because when you say devil may care attitude, because it's 60 games, that gets very pervasive very quickly. And so it's, how did that person run to first last year, or how did that person track down a ball in the gap? Is there more alacrity or urgency? Or is this person selling out a little bit more at the plate because you got to put up some numbers? I mean, it's going to be fascinating. Like, one of the first things we're going to do, I think, is show people what's good in a 60-game season, because we have no idea what's good in a 60-game season. And we're going to be learning that ourselves. But if you're, say, you're Edwin Encarnacion and you have this streak of 30 home run seasons, is 12 good? Like, are you gonna look, 5 weeks until the season's over and say, I've got 8, I need 30? Like, there's a psychological feeling. We know pitchers, even though we know wins don't matter nearly as much, pitchers still want 20 wins. Some pitchers do. The 300 batting average is still very important to people. The psychology of this, as I said before, is going to be fascinating. But statistically, down that avenue especially, how players look and say, like, oh, I've only got 5. Well, that really would be 20, but, 5 sits with you.
I talked to Pat Hughes about this last week, and I'm curious what you think as well. Every play-by-play broadcaster is different in the way he or she uses the ambient energy of the crowd to provide a baseline for your own emotional level. And sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's subconscious, that you just reflect the energy in the building. And now you've got to do more than that, perhaps. Now you've got to modulate a little bit and find something unmoored to what used to just be there for you, and calibrate it yourself. And not to mention, like you say, in 60 games, every out matters so much more. Our overall baseline leverage has been ratcheted up. Yet, you don't want to start out the very first game and have it be like you're actually in the playoffs. How are you going to do this? What have you been thinking about, and how can you make sure that it sounds right?
Yeah, right is a really tough concept, but I have two things that I think are going to help in my understanding of that. Number one, I've been doing Korean baseball in my living room at 3 in the morning every weekend off a Zoom feed on a MacBook. So I got a shot at bringing energy to something that doesn't have it. But the other thing is, and I think you have this understanding doing minor league baseball and CBA games, like, some days, there's just nobody there in the minors. And that's nothing against the minors. I love them dearly. But some days, there's just not much of a crowd at all. Like, we did a game in Frederick, Maryland in, like, 2007. There was a long rain delay. I was working for the Salem Avalanche at the time. There was a long, long, long rain delay. We came back. There were very few people in the stands, except, like, a small birthday party of middle schoolers was there, or maybe early high school.
Was this the Frederick Keys, right? Was it the Frederick Keys?
The Frederick Keys, because the stadium, Harry Grove Stadium, is across from the cemetery where Francis Scott Key is buried.
Yep.
So they're the Frederick Keys, and in the seventh inning, they jingle their keys. So there's this group of kids, and every time a pitch comes, they yell, swing. And our crowd mic is picking up swing every time. So it was basically the 1-2 and the pitch. And they would yell, swing, and I'd go, and a miss. So I just let them say swing for me. And I think it's just kind of an understanding of you do whatever is around, and I'll be reacting off way different cues. But I also think the one variable is the piped in crowd sound, which I know Major League Baseball wants to have in the stadium. So reacting off that and doing it in a sincere way is going to, it's going to take a game or two. I apologize to everybody in advance, but we'll figure it out. And it's really just reacting to whatever sensory experience you're having and trying to amplify it.
How has the team in general, and we'll let you go, we just got about 30 seconds here, Jason, but we're in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about how we're talking about Michael Kopech's situation and his decision to opt out. It sounds to me like everybody within the team and most people outside the team are being tremendously supportive of him.
That's the feeling that I'm getting. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to many people about it, but that's the feeling I'm getting. And for me personally, my experience with Michael Kopech is he's one of the most introspective, thoughtful people I've ever been around in baseball. And I haven't spent a ton of time with him, but enough to know that when he got hurt, one of the things he did was just try to go find himself. And I was heartbroken to know that, you know, he opted out for whatever reason, not because I wanted to see him pitch, but because I just hope everything is where he wants it to be mentally. And I hope that he ends up having everything he wants out of his career, because I know how badly he wants it and needs it.
Well, obviously, people are wishing him the best. We're going to get to that in just a bit with some of what's being said and how his teammates are handling that. But, hey, here's to you getting back at it and calling White Sox baseball with some of the webcasting of the intra-squad games today and then real games soon enough. Jason Benetti, thank you.
Dan, thank you.
Jason Benetti's the voice of the White Sox, and he's just very as aware a baseball observer of everything around him as you're going to find. So I can't wait to have baseball on my television and radio again as the Cubs get back to action. Also, right here on Sports Radio 670. I want to talk about the Michael Kopech's decision to opt out. That happened after we got off the air on Friday. And it isn't just his decision. It's sort of how we are analyzing it and talking about it and what's proper and I think what's good about the way a lot of people are reacting. It says a lot about how far we've come. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.